thank the Lord for the prayer group for coming up to my office and praying with me tonight. And I'm looking for great things from the Lord. But God has done so much for me. He doesn't have to do anything else for me to serve Him. I'm just submitted to Him, committed to Him. It's in His will, and I'm going to trust Him, praise Him, whatever the outcome is. And I believe tonight this will be a blessing as we look in Esther chapter 4. Father, Lord, it's been a long journey, yet a short journey. Dear Father, we thank You for this young man with the strength and energy that I'll never see again. By 27, 28-year-old, moaning God's will so much to abandon a life that You'd given me so great, I never dreamed of what You was going to do. Never dreamed I'd be where I was at when You began to touch my heart. You blessed me. I believe with all my heart we'll live in a country if a person will let God be first and seek God's face for their life and be willing to do whatever God wants to do, at least within the knowledge that we have, which is limited. God would bless that. But sometimes, in the middle of the blessing, in the early life, He changes our course. And we go through trying days. And then He keeps His word because we look back through the years and we see those trying days were blessed days. Sometimes in the midst of a trial, sometimes in the midst of our circumstances, when we come to the throne of grace and make our petition with tears, God sees the future. And He understands sometimes it takes a broken, contrite spirit to come to the throne of grace to mean business with God. And then You do what You need to do to give us confidence and encouragement. And then as we get through the different ones of these circumstances, the time would come, You let us look back and see the hand of God. I think I understand this book as a light to our path, lamp to our feet. And dear God, as we study it, it gives us assurance that the world doesn't have in the midst of circumstances. I pray You'd honor Yourself tonight, bless Your people as we look at this portion of Scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to look in Esther chapter 4. I'm going to read one verse, and I hope this is not going to be, I don't think this will be a long message tonight because it's just one point. I only have one point in the message. I have a lot of sub-points, but I only have one point. In Esther chapter 4 and verse 14, but before I read that portion of Scripture, I want to bring you up to date. If you go back in chapter 3, you see King Ahasuerus. He promotes a man by the name of Haman, who is an Agagite. He advances him to a high seat in position of the land in Persia. And because of that, all the king's servants in verse 2 at the king's gate bowed and reverence him. He's high position exalted by the king of Persia. People bow down to him to honor him. But there's one who has elevated, if you look at chapter before this, he blessed the king one time by saving his, you might say, his life. And he's been elevated, but he's a Jew. And Haman, when he got to his position elevated, all the others bowed down and reverenced him at some high position. But Mordecai, who is a Jew, did not bow down to anybody because they only have one God. And they're taught as a young person up to adult and in life that they are to bow only to him. So he refused to bow. And because of that, Haman gets very wroth, very upset. Verse 5, he saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did reverence. And then he said, or did him reverence. Then was Haman full of wrath. So he can't get Mordecai to bow. And he can't get the king right now to go against him. But he comes up with some kind of conniving idea. That's the way Satan does things. He sought to destroy, according to verse 6, all the Jews throughout the kingdom. Even the people of Mordecai, it says. So he goes to the king and says, there's a certain scattered people abroad in your province that do not believe in your laws, will not keep your laws, won't listen to what you said. Your worth is not anything. And when you talk about understanding kingdoms and kingdoms in that day, what the king said was law, you had the door to die. There's no second guess. They were law. What they said went. And so when he brought this up after a period of time, then not understanding, not realizing about Mordecai at this time, he gives him the right to do just that. He gives him the right to go and destroy. Verse 9, if it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, the Jews. If you look in verse 11, there's some money involved in this, and the people to do, he gave him the right to do to the people, to do with them as it seemed good to thee. So now he puts out a decree through the province of Persia that these people are to be destroyed and be rewarded for those who do that. Those who do it will be rewarded. Chapter 4, you come down in verse 3, in every province, whatsoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning. Now, the Jews were mourning because they were receiving the brunt of this scheme of Haman, which in turn now has convinced the king that this is a thing to do. And Esther hears about it, and Esther now is queen of this particular country. So Esther's maids and her chamberlain came and told her this. Esther looked at one who was the king's chamberlain had given to her to look after her, named Hatchet. He said that he appointed to attend upon her, and so she sent him word to ask Mordecai about this. Mordecai, in verse 8, sends back, gives him a copy of the right and the decree that was given to Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther and declare unto her charge her that she should go into the king to make up supplication unto him and to make request before him for her people. She's going to intercede for the Jewish people. Now, when this servant came back and told Esther the words of Mordecai, Esther spake and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servant and the people of the king's province do know that whosoever... She begins to say that, listen, I can't go into the king. I can stand outside. It's been a number of days now. I think she said 30 days down the end of the chapter of verse 11. Been 30 days. I've not even seen the king. You stand on the outer court. You can't go to the inner court where the king's at. You can't walk in on the king unless he takes his sepulchre and gives you bid. If you walk in on the king without him bidding you, you die. That's the way it was. Your life was fortunate. He could have you slayed right then. And she said, I, as queen, can't even go into the king. It's been 30 days since I've even been in his presence. And they told Mordecai Esther's words. Verse 13, Mordecai commanded to answer Esther and said, think not thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. You think that just because you're in the king's house, you're going to escape this tremendous indictment or this tremendous threat that's come from Haman to the king? He's decreed this. You think you're going to get away by just where you're at? Your status won't keep you from being attacked like the other Jews. And then we get to verse 14. And here's my topic. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall thy enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. He says, if you don't go do what you've got the opportunity to do, to save your people at this particular moment, then God will bypass you. You will suffer the defeat. You will go in with the rest of the Jews, and God will raise somebody else, give them an opportunity who will take advantage of this, and they will come in and deliver those which are left, or deliver the Jews. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And watch this phrase. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? That's my title, the message. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Now, I want to give you an introduction, a few thoughts, and then come to where we're at today. You know what Mordecai said to Esther? Not too many people have great long ministries that influence a complete generation. You don't have too many ministries. Think about Dr. Lee Robertson. You don't have many people like Dr. Lee Robertson who not only one generation, but a number of generations as far as offspring back in the 30s when God moved him in the 40s and then the 50s and do what he has. You don't have many men like Spurgeon. You don't have many men that reaches into many generations that is documented. There are some who have done some great work that is not documented, yet God has a record in heaven. Some people's names are mentioned only once or twice in the Bible. People who come into light of Scriptures in time for one particular reason, for one particular season, for one particular purpose. And it seems like no matter what you know that happened before, no matter what you know that happens after, no one else knows, it's forgotten. But that one or two things in the providence of God may have been the very reason they existed. And that's what he's telling Esther. She's been queen now for a few years. Nothing said about her queen, what she did, had been in that position. But it comes a time that God documented. Could it be, Esther, that God put you where you're at for this one reason? He knew this was coming, and you can take an opportunity to do something about it, which will honor God and save the people. And, of course, you know the story. Haman built a gallows. He's going to go ahead and kill Mordecai. And then the end result was Haman was hung on his same hanging place. Mordecai was set free. And I thought about this. People who come for one particular time or season. Some people come, many times are blessed and build great kingdoms, build great estates, but then they die and leave it all, and you don't remember who they are unless they get in the history book somehow or another. A crisis sometimes makes it clear that God's divine purpose is. A crisis sometimes makes it clear that there may be a reason why at that particular time that God had let you live to where you're at for that purpose. That he may be honored at one time in something in our lives that brought a blessing to many and ended up honoring God. A crisis that you go through when the quiet voice says, this is the way. Walk in it. Walk in it. A crisis that comes where a service is required. You see, the providence of God and the human agency, a man, comes together. And here's the thing. We've got it all mixed up. It's like we kind of trip over it. But the providence of God and the human agency, a man, comes together. And God's providence is a well-established fact that's independent of human agency. But God gives human agency the opportunity when his providence crosses their path to take advantage of it. And ladies and gentlemen, it could be that one time in history is all that we were born to live for. When it honored God. And that's what happened here in Esther. While God's providence employs human agency, hear this, while God's promise is decreed and God's promises employs human agency, I want you to know, it will never, his providence will never interfere with the individual liberty. That's the reason we have the will of God. What God's providence is will not interfere with our liberty. In other words, when we cross the providence of God, we have the opportunity to use the liberty that God has given us to make a decision whether we'll do what God has allowed us to do or give us the opportunity to do. If we do not, we'll go on and they'll be heard of. And if we do, we may go on and never be heard of. But in God's kingdom, it'll never be forgotten. And that's what he's showing us here. And he would use it in a mighty way. You see, God gives us opportunities. God has a plan. God has a purpose. God has a providence that he already sees. There's an ordained meaning and direction of his kingdom. And nothing's going to change that. So we're born, come into a body of flesh, through the miraculous birth of natural birth, and God allows us to hear his word, and in turn cross his providence. He gives us the power to make decisions at times, to honor him, and he will honor us when we do that. God gives us brief opportunities. God's providence always leaves one accountable for his conduct. God's providence will never interfere with individual liberty. God says, here's my providence. Here's where you're at. Here's what I said do if you don't do this. I'll not interfere with your choice, but I'll bless you if you make the right choice. And I see again, God's providence always leaves one accountable for our conduct. God gives us brief opportunities to do good. To work the work of God is not to have lived in vain. There's many people outside this church today, right here in the town of Clayton, who think, you know, I got something better to do in my life than go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night. They think it's in vain. They think we're wasting our time, missing out on something. And yet, God ordained the church. He may not have given us the number of times that we need to meet, but you can meet every day, 7 days a week, and never meet enough for God, what God's done for us. I mean, that's all there is to it. So the work of God, is not to have lived in vain. If it means just one thing in God's providence that crossed our path, or we crossed His path, and we did it for the glory of God. And I believe that with all my heart. God gives us opportunities. I thought about, I don't know, but in the last 40 years, I preached, I know, close to best I can figure out, and more, I don't know, around 6,000 messages. Most of those messages, if any, I will never be remembered much. You give it a few years from now, and you'll find there won't be many of them, if any, remembered. They'll remember the church and many atmosphere, they'll remember in the church, but messaging themselves, unless it changed someone's life, means very little. Whatever one may have done, I guess that more people in the town knows me by name about as good as anybody in the town now after 40 years. But if I die, my name would just go like all the others. But God, as I worked on this message, flooded my heart with joy. I didn't know this 40 plus years ago when He began to move in our heart what to do. But He flooded my heart with joy. Whether you like it or not, I don't care. He flooded my heart with joy of all the things in the providence of God that people may remember or not remember. They will never forget that God used me to start this church. You can't forget that. It's going to be in the history. Not that I'm anything, but there was a time, the providence of God, and that in my life came across. So if there's nothing else anybody ever remembers, could it be that God let me come into His kingdom for such a time as that? As I went through the scriptures, to work the work of God is to live, not live in vain. But what about that one thing? Hey, let me ask you, has there been some, I don't know who it was that drove the bus for that little girl to ride, 8 and 9 year old, now as an adult, has children older than she was when she rode the bus. I don't know. I don't even know if we can go back and find out who rode the bus. I don't even know if we can find anything about it. But could it be that one person, whoever it was, they may be dead and gone. Probably are. Those early bus ministers now that was working here are dead. Pete Cook's gone. He was one of the first ones that worked with buses years ago. Cooper was one of the others that started along that time. I don't know who it is, but I'll tell you this. Could it be that one time that person was such a time as that? I'm telling you, God weighs things different than you and I do. You don't have to be used and build some multi-millionaire, million-dollar arena somewhere or another for God to be blessed and for God to bless and for God to be pleased. You just have to be where He wants you to be and do what He wants you to do. And one time can be enough. And He will bless you for that. You see, calls and purpose are words that awaken intellectual strife. A cause may create a purpose. But a purpose may produce a cause. And God's purpose creates causes. He gives us the opportunity to serve Him. Cause and purpose are words that awaken intellectual strife. Thinkers are those who believe that the will is the cause of human acts. And those human acts are the evidence of a purpose. Anytime you and I do any type of an act, there's got to be a purpose behind it. You say, I don't know what it is. Think hard enough, you'll come up with something. You're going to work in the morning. There's a purpose behind that. You don't go to work because you love to work. You say, I do. Well, then next week when the boss hands you the paycheck, just say, I don't want that. I just let the work here. I don't really need that. I'm just working what I love to. No, there's a purpose. What's the purpose? That money. We're that way. We're all that way. By the way, I find people don't barter like they used to. You can't swap a chicken for something else, you know. Barbara's mother and dad used to swap chickens to pay the Smithfield Harold bill. You don't do that anymore. You go get a chicken, say, next time you want to go to pick. Go down to Progress Energy and say, hey, I don't have money this week, but I got some chicken. I want to pay my light bill and see what they say. They'll say, you chicken right out of here right now. Amen? What I'm saying is those acts are evidence of a purpose. To not believe in human purpose is to have no belief in divine purpose. See that? If you and I don't have a purpose in this life, we don't believe God has a divine purpose. Or if we don't see the purpose, we don't believe God has a divine purpose. Life has a reason for its existence more so than just what we see every day in our life. Now, let me give you this one point. I want you to note God's spotlight on some people for such a time as this. He said, Esther, who knoweth whether thou art come into the kingdom for such a time as this? And I went through the scriptures and I thought about it. There's many of these. You remember the widow in Mark chapter 12, verse 42 through 44? You remember what she did? She gave two mites. What did the Lord say? She gave all that she had. I don't know what she did before. I don't know what she did later. God may have blessed her. She became a rich woman. We don't know that. We have no idea at all what she did. We don't even know how long she lived. But no matter how long that dear lady lived, that one moment she fulfilled the purpose of God in her life. And that's all that's needed if there's nothing else. God weighs things in light of eternity, not the way man does. Then I thought about, look at the lad with the two small fish and five barley loaves in John chapter 6. Do you know anything about it? In fact, if he hadn't had those fish, we'd never known about it in the barley loaves. He'd never been mentioned. I mean, he'd have come and gone. You wouldn't know. I don't know what kind of success he was. I know this, though. I know nothing about him except when God's spotlight turned on him at that time, he was there for the moment in the providence of God so he could perform a great miracle for God. Or Jesus could do that as God. And here at that particular time, those two small fish and five barley loaves. I don't know, after that's a lad, he might have been a successful businessman. But not one thing, you know that. I don't know that. He might have been a great loving father. He might have been a great loving husband. I don't know that. You don't know that. But I'll tell you this. If there's no other reason why he was born, it's for that day. That in the providence of God, when Jesus came to present himself as the one who is God in the flesh and as Messiah, he was there. No one knows why he did that. No one knows if he did it. It might have been his mother that did it. But whatever it was, everything in that circumstance went toward that time that in the providence of God, he would cross over in the liberty that he had to give to God or give to himself. And when Jesus said, I need it, even though he knew that wouldn't feed more than one or two people, he gave it to him. And God fed multitudes. He may have done a lot of things in his life. He may have been a successful businessman. But he came to the kingdom for what? To give five loaves and two fishes on that day. You say, preacher, I just don't believe that. Well, that's what Mordecai says about Esther. And I'll tell you this, no one else is mentioned in that miracle other than what the apostles did. Amen? Isn't it amazing? Out of all the things in the Bible, people who have done things, and of the history of the church, we remember that young man. God wrote him in his word. Why? Because he was a giant of a Christian? We don't know that. But he was there in the providence of God and had the liberty to make a decision in God's providence as they crossed paths. Without this event, we'd never known about this boy. You look at the story about Ananias in Acts 9 and the Saul of Tarsus. Nothing said about him except that he came in time to encourage the Apostle Paul. He was come to the kingdom for such a time as this. God struck Paul down and on the road to Damascus, we think, no, he was saved. And
he was blinded, and he used Ananias to come and pray for Paul, to encourage Paul. God said to Ananias, he's going to be used to reach the Gentiles. And Ananias prayed for him, and the scales fell from his eyes. You don't hear about him no more that we know of. There's an Ananias, a priest, but I'm saying this one time. If he'd done nothing else in life, this one time is written in the Scriptures in the providence of God. Look at Simon of Cyrene in John 23. Simon Cyrene goes down. He's learned about God through the judicial system. He goes down from Africa up to Jerusalem. He goes there to worship God. You don't know how many times he made the trip. We don't know how many times he made the trip afterwards. I know this. He didn't go to Jerusalem this particular time saying, boy, something great is going to happen to me at the time. I'm going to have to do something that no one else is going to ever do. And he comes up, and when he gets in Jerusalem, he sees all of a sudden, maybe you've been there a few days, heard about what's going to happen. We know that he sees Christ going towards a place carrying a cross. And as he goes towards the hill of Golgotha, somewhere along the line, right where he's standing close by, Jesus kind of collapsed carrying the cross, where many thought he couldn't carry it any further. And they called Simon Cyrene, standing in the crowd, to come and carry the cross for this Jesus of Nazareth. Ladies and gentlemen, amazing thing about that. Simon may have not been, he might not have been a failure in life. He might have been a rich man. I don't know. But when he helped carry the cross of Jesus Christ on that day, he came to the kingdom for that purpose. You don't know anything else about him? And without Christ, without him being there, whatever his motive was to be in Jerusalem, when Christ came by and he dropped to his knees and the soldiers said, come here, take the cross. The providence of God and the will of a man came together. You say he didn't have no choice. Yes, he did. He had a choice. He didn't have to go to Jerusalem. He was not forced to go there. Are you getting the picture? It may be just one thing that God's providence comes to our existence and we cross the path. And that one thing is the very reason why we exist. I thought about Joseph of Arimathea, John chapter 19. He let Jesus borrow his tomb. You don't hear a whole lot about him other than a few words in the Scriptures that talks about him. He let Jesus borrow his tomb. I say borrow because he didn't need it for just a few days. You know, he didn't get it permanently. He just borrowed it. And the thing about that is, could it be all that Joseph of Arimathea did, could it be that he came to the kingdom for such a time as this? Now what I want to show you is this, and I'm closing. The widow with the mite, the lad with the fish and the bread, the Ananias to Saul, Simon of Cyrene in Jerusalem, Joseph of Arimathea. That covers a pretty good period of time. That individuals you know nothing about except where they're at in the providence and purpose of God, and they cross that using the liberty that God has given for that one thing. I'm going to tell you what. If you'd have talked to Simon Cyrene later, he'd said, you know, all the things I've ever done in my life, the greatest thing that I ever did, other than trust Christ as my Savior, to carry his cross from where he was at to Golgotha's hill. What a privilege he would say that was. You may not know who I was. You may not know who I am. You may know nothing else about me. But God wrote in his word one thing, and that one thing is worth everything in the providence of God. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such as this? And then I said, Lord, how can that be in our day? And I look at Fellowship Baptist Church. I look at the people of Fellowship Baptist Church. It doesn't mean that if we serve God at one time, we quit, that God is pleased with that. But there could be some one thing
In eternity, God will say, at the time when my providence crossed your path and you had the liberty to take advantage of that, here's what happened when you took advantage at that time. And here's the thing, folks, if that can happen one time, think about how many times it can happen when we take advantage of it. And I thought about, as you think about Fellowship Baptist Church, and I said to you to start with, God led Barbara and I here for such a time as this. I believe that. I don't understand a lot of, I like to, but I believe such a time as this. We had to take the providence of God that He passed our way. And where I was at, I used to think, man, with the company I am, I just think with the man I am, and where it seemed like God has blessed me to rise up in this organization, that I'd be head of a plant in a foreign field somewhere, and nothing could be a missionary and work for the other company, and they'd have to send me there. By the way, some of my best friends went that way. But God didn't see fit to that. The providence of God and the liberty of man crossed. And there had to be a decision. And that one decision, I'll be forgotten down through the years if the Lord don't come back for the church. You and I will be off the scene one of these days, and our names will be forgotten except for that which had been reduced to us in our loins, and then from the children from that. But there's some things in God's sight lets us see that the world may forget, but it's that one thing in the kingdom, that's the reason you were born. That's the reason you came across it. That's the reason you took advantage of it. And that's the reason I did what I said I'd do. And so I started back thinking about those days. And I realized how hard it was to start and over, start, stop and start as far as careers are concerned, though it was a calling of God. Then I thought about the number of people at Fellowship Baptist Church. This church is not one man. It's not one person, not one family. This church, it's a people banding together for such a time as this to serve our Lord. Understanding our place. Understanding where God has placed us, the talents we got. Bringing all this together as a unit, as a church before God, in a locality serving God Almighty. Fellowship Baptist Church needed some people to come. In the early years, we had 10 or 12, but we had one or two witnesses. In the first part, we had no one, but then we had one or two witnesses. And God gave us some witnesses to go with us to knock on doors. Could it be that they, at that moment of time in God's providence, used their liberty? I'll tell you this. God will never forget what they did. And He'll never forget what you and I do. When you think about that, God needs someone to teach classes. He needs someone to drive and work the bus route. He needs someone later to work with the radio. He needs someone to work with preschool, usher, work in the office. He needed some to serve on the deacon board or on the staff. All of these are different positions. God calls preachers. The church nominates deacons. A higher calling in the church is the call of God. God does not call deacons. The church calls deacons by nominating. We go, by the way, we'll be doing that in just a little while. But everyone who has a chance to serve in a capacity like that within the framework of God's Word, they are there for that moment. Many men who sat years ago on the board made some vital decisions for our church. And no matter where they make, some are going to be the Lord. No matter what happened, the providence of God and the liberty crossed paths. Many of you made decisions about the same way. You were sent for such a time as this. When God gave Fellowship Baptist Church you, hear me, when God gave Fellowship Baptist Church you, you may accomplish many things in this life, but God's spotlight is on you for such a time as this. In the providence of God. And you may accomplish everything in this world that others may look at as being highly motivated, successful. But that one thing is worth it all. If at the moment of God's providence and the liberty you had to cross that in God's divine providence, the right decisions was made. It may not be two fish and five barterloaves. You not be care of the cross like Simon did. But there's something in God's annuals of history in heaven where that providence and that liberty cross, and you made the right decision. And God was honored. And He blessed you. But that one thing will be what's remembered down through the years. So I say to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you that are here, do not underestimate the value of your life.
Esther was not an ordinary individual. She was Queen of Persia. But her status of Queen of Persia wasn't the thing in God's providence, other than the fact to get her in His providence, in His era in life, to do, as Mordecai said, maybe this one thing. You think you're beauty. God made you beauty. Beauty was the reason they attracted to King of Persia, but God made you beautiful. You became a queen. God allowed that behind the scene. He used natural elements and everything else. You lived like a queen. No one else in the nation of Israel under this circumstance lived like Queen Esther. But that's not what it's about. Esther, it could be that God raised you up for this one purpose. It could be. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Esther was ordinary, not an ordinary individual. She was a queen. And someone say, well, what about us? I got news for you. As a born again child of God, you're not an ordinary individual either. I am not an ordinary individual. We're born into the family of God. You know what it means? That means that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ to all that God has. Do you understand that, folks? We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ to all that God has. Whatever Jesus inherits as an heir of God, as God being His Father, He has made it possible for us to be joint heirs with Him with all that He has. Isn't it an amazing thing? We're kings and priests of our Lord. And could it be with this wonderful title that He gives to us that we don't brag about, but we thank God that we're not just ordinary now? And I don't mean that any type of sacrilegious. I mean that's where God has placed us, to be a child of this natural world, and to be a child of God is a lift up than being just of the natural world. And so we are born in this world, depraved, now children of God. And I thought about this. If I came to the kingdom for such a time as this, whatever it is that this, God, make me ready to do Thy will. I don't know what's ahead of me, but I know this. I'm going to preach somewhere today I die. It's in my bones. But I'll tell you something else too as I think about that. If the time came in my life and it comes down time to die, I pray that God would use that time as His providence and my liberty crosses, that He would get glory even out of my death. And in that arena of that glory, that God would help me manifest how a Christian should die. I mean that. Help me to take advantage of every minute I have of the opportunity to serve the Lord God. Because how do I know every opportunity I have, from the little thing to the largest thing, from just going out knocking on the door, work a bus route, to preach, to go forth, and now I can't be where I liked a bit years ago, could be involved with everybody's life as much because it's much more. But let me, Father, understand the advantages I have to take opportunities to serve You. Take advantage of those opportunities. And the thing about that is this, because who knoweth, the very next thing that God's providence crosses my path and my liberty crosses across His providence, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And by the way, it'd be good to mark those verses in your Bible and say, Lord, whenever Your providences, wherever they're at, and my liberty crosses Your property that I have in Jesus Christ, this liberty of making a decision, I pray that I'd understand and ask the question, could it be, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Have I come to the kingdom
for such a time as this? Have I come to the kingdom for such? I'll tell you what, folks, it'll brighten your day in the worst conditions you find yourself in. I'm in the valley, Lord, don't know what to do. I need a valley, Lord, and I'm confused, and I know who you are. I know what you can do, but nothing seems to be happening. Have I come to the promise of God that my liberty may cross? Could it be that this is the main thing in my life that where God could get glory? Could it be this is the time for me as this? It'll work for any of us. My Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. I believe with all my heart there's something here for all of us to encourage us in life. The Lord, I believe with all my heart that we're not here just to satisfy our own egos. We're here and blessed by God so that when we cross the providence of God, we can use those blessings to be used of God. We make those decisions. And it could be, if not already, somewhere down the road, someone crossed the providence of God. It came into their life and their liberty was at stake. And they did what God said. And that one thing is the reason they're there for. Dear Lord, many times you use many things. But you can't use many things without taking each one individually. They come individually. Help us understand that. And we can say, if this is God's will for my life, I don't care what the charismatics say. If this is God's will for my life, then nothing else is important than God's will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.